God's been good to you. Go ahead and give him the praise and magnify him tonight and give him all that he's worthy of. Ah, we give you praise, oh mighty, mighty, mighty God. We bless your name and we thank you and we worship you. Praise God. Has he been good to you? Are you enjoying what God's doing in your life? Is God doing a better job with it than you were doing when you had it all by yourself? Are you glad for the grace and the favor and the mercies of God tonight? Isn't he a good God? Let's give him a little high praise. Let's magnify him. If you believe he hears and he answers prayer, go ahead and praise him tonight. I give you praise, almighty God. I worship you. I lift you. Praise God. Praise God. It's such a wonderful day to be a part of the kingdom of God and to serve him and to know him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. Praise God. Maddie, if you're able, can you give us the 91st Psalm tonight? Just because it's there and just because it's true and just because God said it. It'd be a good thing for us to take a look at it tonight and to have some understanding about, and I understand you're a thoughtful person and you think and you're aware and you're a realist, perhaps pragmatist, but the Word of God is still the Word of God. So I want you to take your rationality in hand and your good, clear mind in hand, and I want you to say, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. Turn to somebody and say, not David, I will say of the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. I want somebody to just stop for a minute and shout about it. I want you to just stop and shout about that a little bit and worship God for that just a little bit. Hallelujah. God, say, I shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence, nor for the pestilence, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with mine eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked, because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. They shall bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. Is this the word of God? Is this the word of God? Is this the word? I shall tread on the lion and the adder. Young lion and the dragon shall I trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. Now this is God talking. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Anybody know his name tonight? Shout his name. He has known my name, and he shall call upon me. This is God talking. And I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Clap your hands, lift your voice, give God some praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hey, we worship, we magnify you, oh God. We bless your name, almighty God. We praise your name, oh God. We lift you up, oh God. Oh, we ought to give God some praise in the house tonight. I know it's COVID season, and I know we're in a war tonight, and I know we're in the harvest of God, but we just get down to the fundamentals and pray and praise and worship and lift up God and let God do the heavy lifting. You don't have much, and you're not much, but it's not by might, nor is it by power. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Praise God. And all you might have would be some empty vessels, but God will fill them, every one. And all you might have would be a rod in your hand, but God can change the course of history with what you have in your hand. What you have right now is just enough, because God's made everything you need available. Somebody say praise the Lord. Anybody believe that right now? Anybody believe that right now? If you're at home, you ought to jump up and stomp your feet, clap your hands. You ought to get your babies by the hand and dance around the coffee table right now. Run around the kitchen. Give yourself some room there. Shout a little bit in your house. Make your house the temple of the Holy Ghost tonight. Hey, mighty God, we give you praise. Praise God. So we know. We know how it is, and we know that we're mortal, and we know that we walk in the same valleys that the world walks in, but it's altogether different for us, because, oh, you just take a random selection like Revelation 20 and 4, and it starts off with you get your head cut off, but it ends with you live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Because you can't kill what God made alive, and you can't stop what God has started, and you can't change what God has put in motion. Not if he has a willing vessel, and that's all he needs tonight. He needs a willing vessel. Praise God. I love what I feel in the house. I appreciate the faithfulness of God's people, and I appreciate those of you that are at home that are worshiping tonight and taking part tonight. And it's just a weird day that we're in, but you don't lose points for staying at home with your babies and navigating this thing. And we're just going to walk it as it comes, and we're going to make good decisions about it, and we're going to worship God. I appreciate our praise group and our musicians and our media team. They've been very, very faithful. For months, when nobody was in the house, they were in the house, and we didn't know how this thing was going to go, but they were very diligent and very faithful, and I appreciate them so much, and all of our usher and greeter crew, and just all of these that have been so faithful in their areas of ministry. We're going to read again tonight in Ruth chapter 3, and I kind of startled Maddie with the title tonight. She has to post it somewhere, and so at the top line is just Ruth chapter 3. And then it's Ruth comes into covenant with kinsman redeemer and other New Testament corollaries. And she has to find a place to put that. But that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And we're going to read from Ruth chapter 3. And then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast, or you were? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking." Praise God. If you love his word as you're seated tonight, let's give God praise and thanks for his word. God, we magnify you and we bless your name and we praise your name for your word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise your mighty God. So good tonight to have Sister Siri's sister with us. And who, you're a friend or just a tag along or just a good dear sister in the Lord? Yeah, a traveling buddy. Yeah, okay. Well, it's so good to have you guys here. From San Jose, and welcome to the Deep South. You're a long way from home. It's further than you think. It's a long way from San Jose, California to Birmingham, Alabama. And you'd have to live here a little while just to understand that. And so we're glad that you're here and in church with us tonight. And fearless warriors in the kingdom and all of that. Travel a long way and in perilous times to be with your sister. Brave, brave sisters in the Lord. So Ruth and Naomi have come back to Bethlehem. And they buried their husbands. And now they're at the mercy of the plan of God. And they have to act and live as widows. And God has built in provisions. But he's also built in a system. And Ruth comes back and she's made a vow that she's going to take care of Naomi. And she said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And she finds herself working the system of God in Bethlehem. She's gleaning in fields. And the field that she happens upon is the field of one named Boaz, who's a mighty man and a wealthy man and a successful farmer. And she works hard. She works from morning to night. And then she threshes out that grain. And then she carries it back to the house where Naomi is. And so she's diligent and she's faithful and she's working hard. And Boaz sees this and the servants see it. And so she gets favor and she gets access and she gets an open invitation from the Boaz, and he says, come and sit with my maidens and come and glean in the field. And to the young men, and he tells her, come in and drink when they draw water, and gives her access that normal strangers and travelers don't have. But he gives her access because of what she's doing. And this is a very important point. It matters what you do as you come into this relationship with God. It matters how you behave. It matters how you act, that you fellowship with the people of the field, and that you take your place in the field, and that you take a vested interest and you work hard. And so all of these things are very important when you're coming into a relationship with God. And it's not any of that watered down pablum of Protestantism where works don't matter and all that matters is what you think and what you feel. And my goodness, that's been distilled down into modern America and it doesn't mean anything anymore. But it matters how you walk when you come into the presence of God. And it matters how you talk when you come into the presence of God. And it matters that you're hardworking and that you're respectful and that you mingle with the people and that you leave your mother and your father and all the things of your house of the familiar, and that you come into a new relationship ready to leave everything and come into a new relationship with God. And Boaz tells her, he says, may the Lord God pay you or bless you in that you have come and put your trust under the wings of God. And that's what she's done. She's come to God and she's come under the covering of God, and she comes in a submitted way and she comes in a responsive way. And so that's where we find her. And this morning we're talking about the fact that she's gleaning, and as she's gleaning, it's hard work. She's bent over all day and she's finding what they missed and what straggles on the plant and what drops to the floor, and she's picking that up, and it's not easy. And then Boaz, he's blessing her. He tells the young man, drop some on purpose for her. And he's watching her and he likes her. And Boaz is a type of, he's the kinsman redeemer in the scheme of God, but he's also a type of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus sees you coming, and he sees you coming like that, and you're responsive and you're diligent and you're faithful and you're invested in it, then God will begin to leave some handfuls on purpose for you, and the church will leave some handfuls on purpose for you, and will expedite your way into the kingdom. Your response to the things of God will make it easier or harder to come into the kingdom. An old man told me when I first came, he said, you live for God hard and it's easy. You live for God easy and it's hard. And I don't know if I understood him then, but I understand him really well now. And the more you put into this, the more you get out of it. And the church is not a welfare state, and God is not a socialist. You've got to, if you're in the parables, you've got to bring a return on what God has invested in you. And if you're the ground that God's planting in, you got to bring forth a harvest. And on and on. And you can hang on to this salvation if you're committed. And if you're dedicated to it. So Naomi and Ruth, they are at the mercies of the system of God. And Ruth comes in and she's working and she finds a place. And now she's threshing out and she's bringing home. And Naomi's really impressed with what she brings. And she's asking her, where did you go and where did you glean? And she told her, well, it's in the field of Boaz. And Naomi lets her know, well, Boaz is our next of kin. He is a next of kin. And so this is a really important relationship. And here in this second verse of our text, now is not Boaz of our kindred whose maidens you were with, and tonight he's winnowing barley in the threshing floor. So she gives Ruth instructions. She says, I want you to fix up. I want you to get cleaned up. And you've been working all day, and you've been out in that field, and you've been all hot and sweaty, and you've been dirty, and it's dirty work on the threshing floor and all of that. But I want you to get cleaned up and put on your good dress, and I want you to get down to that threshing floor because there's something there for us. And what she opens up with is, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? So Naomi has an idea of what's going to happen here. So Ruth has become acquainted with the kinsman redeemer. In the law was, if you're the next of kin, you have a right to the property of the deceased, but you also have an obligation to raise up seed to the deceased. And you marry the widow of the deceased so that you can accomplish that. And Ruth is now, she's met her kinsman redeemer, and her faithfulness and her vow to Naomi and her hard work and her obedience has gotten her favor. And that's what we talked about this morning. And it's gotten her access. And again, think about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. God knows him, and God sends an angel to him. He's a pagan, he's a Roman, but somehow he's been converted to Judaism at some level, although he's not able to be a part of Israel, not as he is there and not as he's living, but he's praying, and that gets God's attention, and he's giving alms to the poor, and that gets God's attention. So God sends him an angel. If you'll begin to move toward God, God will begin to move toward you. And if you'll begin to respond in what you know, God will meet you at the place of your obedience and begin to give you more. And that's what happens with Cornelius. And Cornelius gets an angelic visit, and then he gets instruction to send to Joppa and get Peter. And Peter gets instruction about the Gentiles and about Cornelius. And the thing comes together, and the whole house gets the Holy Ghost, and they all get baptized in Jesus' name. But Cornelius's response sets him up for this rendezvous with God and the angel and with Peter. And so what you do matters. You cannot divorce who you are from what you do, although our modern culture spends a lot of time rationalizing that. But you are what you do. You're not what you feel or what you think. You rather are what you do. Now, Naomi wants to bring her into a covenant now. She's got access. She's got favor. She's in the field. She's making headway. She's made the acquaintance. She's like somebody new coming into the kingdom of God. There's very, very strong corollaries between this story of Ruth and the story of the New Testament harvest and the New Testament believer. And so Naomi, her mother-in-law, says, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee that it may be well with thee? Well, that idea, that language resonates all the way down to the New Testament. Testament, because the rest is a huge biblical theme. And if you've had the Bible study or you taught the Bible study, you understand the direction that we take with this. But the Old Testament Sabbath day was a reflection of the fact that God made everything in the creative act, and then he rested, and then he projects it on Israel and in Exodus chapter 20, and they rest in the Sabbath day, the structure. They get physical rest, but God's got something else in mind. And ultimately, he tells them, if you don't rest, you'll die. And it's a mandate, and it's capital crime if you don't observe the Sabbath day. But there's something else coming. Isaiah chapter 28, and the prophet says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear.'" And so Isaiah says there's something else about this rest, and it's going to have something to do with an utterance, and it's something that we're not really privy to right now in this Old Testament day. But we follow Paul's theological training and teaching in the book of Colossians, and we find out that the Old Testament Sabbath is fulfilled in the New Testament experience of the Holy Ghost. And we hear Jesus in Matthew 11 saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for you shall find rest to your souls." And there we ask the question in the Bible study, what kind of rest did they get in the Old Testament? And the answer is, they got physical rest. But what kind of rest is Jesus calling them to? And then we understand Jesus says, "You'll find rest to your soul. And if you lived any time at all, you tell me which one is more valuable, that physical rest or that spiritual rest." And hands down, you can have the best physical conditions in the world, but if you've got anxiety down in your spirit, then you're not getting much rest. It doesn't matter how much time you allocate for it, but it doesn't matter how hard the circumstance is or how hard the workday is. If you've got Jesus and the rest of God down in your heart, then you've got something that makes you sleep like a baby and makes you have peace in your heart. Is there a witness in the house tonight? And then on the day of Pentecost, we see the culmination of that. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. That wind was the breath of God. It was the pneuma. It was the Spirit of God. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they just received the culmination, the fulfillment of the typology of the Sabbath day in the Old Testament. They just received it down on the inside, and they begin to fulfill what Isaiah said, "With stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people to whom he said, 'This is the rest.'" Now, Naomi is telling Ruth, I'm trying to set you up, sweetheart, so that you can have rest. I'm trying to get some rest for you, that it may be well with you." And I understand that she's talking about a situation or a circumstance, but what she's really talking about is marriage with the kinsman redeemer, and having that man Boaz put his arm around this young lady, Ruth, and take care of her. And this is a corollary. This is typology of the New Testament experience of the New Testament believer with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Boaz is the kinsman redeemer, and Jesus is the kinsman redeemer. And there is a resonance that sets up here. Peter's going to tell them on that day of Pentecost, "These are not drunken as you suppose. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Is there anybody here that is the fulfillment of that prophecy tonight? Is there anybody that can say, "This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel? I don't have to look around somewhere else. I know this is that." This is not the product of Constantine and Catholicism 400 years after Jesus. This is not the product of Augustine and Aquinas and all of the philosophical, theological ramblings of the Catholic Church. And this is not the meanderings of the Protestants' philosophy, but this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Somebody say, this is that. This is that Holy Ghost. This is that Jesus name. This is that New Testament experience. This is that holiness. This is that word of God. This is that anointing. This is that was spoken by the prophets. If you're glad to be a recipient of that, let's give him praise. Let's magnify him. Praise God. So the New Testament rest is the Holy Ghost. And so we follow along with Ruth and Naomi, but we can't avoid making our way down into the New Testament and saying, hey, Ruth is coming into relationship with the kinsman redeemer, just like we came in. And the language of this little story is a lot like the language that we use to describe our experience. When Naomi's trying to set her up and says, I'm trying to hook you up with some rest, you don't be alarmed if we're very energetic about trying to get you filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't be alarmed if we're trying to get you hooked up with Jesus, the kinsman redeemer. We're very, very oriented toward that, and we're very excited about that. And chances are good when you go down in the water in Jesus' name, we're going to be clapping our hands and lifting our voice, and we might dance and shout a little bit. When you get the Holy Ghost and you begin to talk in tongues, we'll probably have a party. We'll probably get excited a little bit because we know what is happening. We feel like Naomi. We feel just like Naomi. We want to hook you up with your kinsman redeemer. We want you to receive all the good things of God. So we don't mean to get in your space, and we don't mean to reach too far too quickly with you. And we walk a fine balance there because we are eager to see you filled up with the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. Naomi said, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee that it might be well with thee? Ruth is a type of the Gentile bride, and we are the church of the living God, and it's our duty to facilitate people coming into that relationship with God. We seek rest for you so that it might be well with you. And you might say, well, Brother Sutton, there's not a lot of people here tonight that need the Holy Ghost. There are not a lot of strangers in the house tonight. Sometimes you preach to those that are there, but sometimes you preach to those that are not there. You preach to those that are going to be there. I'll just tell you this. The night I came to get baptized at midnight, the church was walking the floors praying at midnight. And I didn't understand it then, but I understand it now. They were praying for me, and they were calling on God for me, and they were praying for revival. And revival walked in the door, and they had no idea what was happening, but they were praying, and they had been without a pastor for 3 years. My pastor had only been there for 2 years, and he was 33 years old when we came to live for God. He was a relatively young man, and this was an old church, and he was trying to lead them into revival, and they were praying, and they were seeking God. But what they didn't know is this group of rockers and druggers had found a tape on prophecy, and we were over here, and just out of the blue, something began to move in our group, and we gathered together, and then we began to listen to those prophecies, and then we began to open up the Bible, and then we began to find out that the Bible was true, and then we tried to find, well, who's teaching this, and where can we find it? We began to interview preachers and pastors, and my wife's sister, Dawson's mom, had gone to high school with an apostolic girl, and so she contacted her, and she had gone there once in high school, and she said, if I ever go to church, I want to go to a church like that. And so we went, and it was weird, and it was strange, and you know how we are. We're weird and strange to comparison with most church, and especially back then, because there were no charismatic churches then, and there were no full gospel churches then, and there was no contemporary worship then. That was in the midst of the charismatic renewal of the early 70s. And so apostolic was very, very strange. But they were praying for revival. And God was moving on a nexus of people that would be the beginning of a 100-soul revival between August and December. And from that, there would be a doubling of that church in the next 3 years. And I just came. I just walked into it. I didn't understand what a radical transformation that was in that church. But I want you to understand, sometimes you pray for those that are there in the house, and sometimes you pray for those that are out on the street, and sometimes you preach to those that are in the house, and sometimes you preach to those that don't even know about it yet. But God hears the prayer, and God hears the prophecy, and God does everything by prayer and by prophecy. And he goes and he sends an angel and he breathes on a heart and he opens up a scripture and he shakes somebody in the nighttime and he sends one a dream and he sends another a witness and he sends somebody else, a Peter or a Paul or a Jermaine. And he's answering the prayer. Naomi says, I'm going to find you rest. And I tell you, the church needs to be invested in finding rest for those that are in this city that don't know the kinsman redeemer. So Naomi says, and now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast, or with whose maidens you were? Behold, he winnoweth, or he thresheth out barley tonight on the threshing floor. If you want to find the kinsman redeemer, if you want to find Jesus or Boaz in this story, you're going to find him in the harvest field, and you're going to find him on the threshing floor. A little note to the church. Don't ever get sidetracked with other things. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the focus. That's the primary reason, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us this ministry of reconciliation. He did it. He touched the lepers. He touched the sinners. He ministered to them for 3 years, and now he's given us this ministry of reconciliation. If you want to find Jesus, go down to the threshing floor. If you're having a hard time breaking through in your prayer, go down to the harvest. Find somebody to, I'm just telling you this, if you need a move of God in your life, find somebody to witness to. Find somebody to teach, because you're going to find Jesus down at the harvest field. Praise God. I just want to tell you, everything we do around here is for one singular purpose. It's to see somebody filled with the Holy Ghost and somebody baptized in Jesus' name. And then we're going to raise them up. And then we're going to teach them so that they can bring forth somebody else in their image. Can you say praise the Lord? If you've been lonesome for God, you'll find him down at the threshing floor, or you'll find him down at the harvest. Naomi said, that's where he's going to be tonight. He's down there. He's in the middle of that harvest. He's working that harvest. You want to talk to Jesus? You want to get closer to Jesus? Get closer to the harvest. Get closer to the harvest. That's where his mind is. You'll find him in the harvest field, or you'll find him on the threshing floor where he's brought the harvest for the processing of the harvest. So Naomi tells Ruth, wash yourself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. Go down there where that harvest is. If you're going to do business with him, he said, you got to wash yourself. If there's ever been a message in the Old Testament about baptism, you're looking at it right here. If you want to walk down, if you want to get close to Jesus, if you want to get close to the kinsman redeemer, you want to be closer to God. I know somebody's listening online tonight, and I just want to tell you, if you want to get closer to God, if you're locked up and you're bound up and you can't draw closer to God, I want to invite you to come down tonight and let us baptize you in Jesus' name. You say, well, I've already been baptized. Well, if you were baptized in the titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you hadn't been baptized yet. All you did was get wet, and you became a Catholic. But what you've got to do is go down in the water according to the Word of God. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody that believes that, clap your hands, lift your voice, magnify God tonight. You want to get close to God? Come wash yourself. You want to get close to God? Go down in the water. Go down in the name. And the only thing that can wash your sins is the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Ananias told Paul, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And the verse tense there is really probably better translated, having the name of the Lord called upon you. But I'm not picking at straws tonight. If you want to be involved in and do business with the kinsman redeemer, wash yourself. And then Naomi said, anoint thee. Get your anointing oil. And it was oil, and it might have been perfumed oil, but she said, you need to get washed, and then you need to get anointed. And typologically, get under the anointing, because anointing comes from authority. You want to get close to God? Find somebody with apostolic authority and get under that anointing. And that's the flow of anointing in the biblical schedule. Moses was anointed of God, and then Aaron was anointed of Moses, and the 70 were anointed of Moses, and Samuel was anointed of God, and Saul and David were anointed of Samuel, and Elijah was anointed of God, and Elisha was anointed of Elijah. You need to find the anointing and get under that. This is not a scattered group of independent individuals, but we are a body and we have one head. And you need to know and understand that the only thing that'll destroy the yoke is the anointing of God. And we need the anointing of God. And to have that, we've got to come under the authority of the Word of God and the structure. And you've got to get yourself washed, and you need to get yourself anointed. There's another place where I find anointing. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment, the anointing ointment, upon the head that ran down on the beard, even Aaron's beard. Moses poured it on him. So it was authority, but it came down, and he says, this is what unity is like. Unity brings the anointing that went down to the skirts of his garments as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Anoint thyself. And if you want to get close to him, get yourself washed. If you want to get close to him, anoint yourself. Find somebody that's got apostolic authority and get yourself subjugated there. Find yourself somebody that has the truth of God and gather yourself together with them in unity. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father, who is above all, through all, and in you all. I want you to know and to understand, you have to rally around the Word of God and rally around the truth of God and rally around the name of Jesus and rally around all the principal parts of what God has made available. But when you look up from that rally point, there are others who have rallied there, and they are the people of God. And you have to say, we be the people of God, and I am a part of what God is doing here. And you're not some maverick or somebody that is walking all by yourself. And if the devil tries to get you alone and separate you and tell you how cut off you are and how alone you are, you need to stand up and get proactive and draw close to the people of God, because that one that gets off and straggles behind, that's the one the lion gets. You heard and the devil take the hinder part. He's talking about the predatory animals are always looking for the sick and the weak and the stragglers and those. There's safety when we all gather together and we rally around the things of God, and there's anointing there. Somebody say praise the Lord. So, and then she said, Naomi said to Ruth, put on your raiment, get your righteousness on. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. You want to get close to him? Get yourself washed. and stay washed. The initial event is in baptism. The continual maintenance of that is repentance before God every day. Some days you won't even know what you've done wrong, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you need to pray a prayer of repentance every day. It'll keep you close to God. It'll keep you humble. And I'll guarantee you there's stuff in your life that you don't even know about, but God knows about it. So it's good to be honest with the scripture and to pray a prayer of repentance. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so righteousness then, she said, wash yourself, get anointed, and then get your raiment on. Put that dress on that you've been saving, and you're going to go down. And it matters. We live in pajama Friday world. And it's like now with COVID, I have to tell you, I was coming to the church twice. I was doing two Bible studies in the morning, two Bible studies at night, and I was doing it in jeans and boots and a shirt hanging out and a tie. But all you could see is from here up, so it didn't matter. And there were people in all kinds of regalia doing Zoom meetings, and all kind of weirdness went on there. But it matters how you dress when you come to see the kinsman redeemer. She said, and Ruth, you get yourself cleaned up. Well, God just loves you like you are, and God will accept you like you are. Well, God will accept you like you are. But then you've got to get cleaned up, and then you've got to get anointed, and then you've got to put on your robes of righteousness. And here Naomi said, put on that dress that you've been saving. It matters how you present yourself in the house of God. Praise God. And if you've got jeans and boots and a untucked shirt tonight, I'm glad you're here. And we want people to feel the liberty. If you just finished a 10-hour day and you're wearing your work clothes, we're glad for you to come into the house of God. And we're glad for you to be here if you're brand new, we don't care how you come, as long as you don't come to hurt somebody. We're glad that you're here. But you need to understand this. If you want to get close to God, there are some principles and some standards in the Word of God that's going to affect the way you live and the way you behave and the way you dress. Don't let Hollywood tell you how to dress. Don't let Fifth Avenue tell you how to dress. Don't let the internet tell you how to dress. Let the Word of God and let the people of God nurture you in that. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Okay, so the garments of salvation in Isaiah 61 and the man in Matthew 22 that did not have a wedding garment on. So you need to get yourself the robe of righteousness. And so the corollaries here are really, really straight on and obvious. Wash and anoint and get the right raiment and come into relationship with the kinsman redeemer. Ruth says in verse 5, and she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. She did exactly. She washed and she anointed and she put on her good dress and she said, I will do everything. When you come to the kingdom of God, we don't want you to check your brain at the door. We want you to come and we want you to have an intelligent faith. But that is rooted in the Word of God. But there comes a place where once you see it, you need to cut loose and you need to just relax and respond and obey those that have the rule over you. Now that is a stark, raving, crazy idea in America in 2020. But I'm just telling you, there's a place where you have to relax in the culture and in the ministry of the kingdom of God. And Ruth says, I will do everything that you say unto me. Now, make sure that it's right. Make sure that the scripture's right. Make sure that the doctrine's right. Make sure that the attitude is right. Vet everything by the Word of God. But there has to come a place where you stop vetting. There has to come a place where you stop checking everything. There has to come a place where you just say, this is the way of God, and I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to say yes, and you're not going to inspect and scrutinize every little thing. Somebody say amen. And I I understand how difficult that is. But if you really want to have liberty in the house of God, you've got to come into the house of God and be wide open and no more reserved and ready to respond. And God may tell you something crazy, like put a blue fringe around the bottom of your garment. And they didn't understand that, and they didn't want to do that. But before the day was open, the earth had opened up and swallowed them over a crazy little blue ribbon around the bottom. I mean, when it gets to that, it's like the young king with the arrows in his hand, and the prophet says, strike the ground. And he doesn't know what it's for, and he doesn't know what the implication is. And so he's a little embarrassed and a little bit unsure. So he just tentatively strikes the earth a few times, and the prophet was angry with him. And the prophet said, that was the arrow of the deliverance of God. And if you would have beaten him into matchsticks, you would have totally destroyed your enemy. I mean, there comes a place where you have to come into relationship with the pulpit and with the prophecy and with the word of God, and you just say yes. You have to come to that place. She said, I'll do everything. If my pastor called me tonight and asked me to fly to Sacramento and dig a ditch, I'd be on board the next Southwest flight, and I'd have a shovel. They, I don't think, would let me on with a shovel. They're a little bit paranoid about stuff like that now. But I would, when I got there, I'd make a stop at the nearest Home Depot, and I'd buy a shovel, and I'd go to digging. I'm just telling you, that's where I am. That's where I've been for a long time. And I can't impose that on you, but I will tell you this. If you really want what God has for you, you have to get to that place. You have to be absolutely in subjection to the word of God. There has to come a place where everything is not a debate. Let's give God a little praise and magnify him. Well, praise God. Ruth said, everything you say unto me, I'll do. And she went down to the floor and did all according to that her mother-in-law bade her. She doesn't argue. She doesn't resist. She is the Gentile bride, and she's seeking rest, and she gets washed, and she gets anointed. She gets anointed, and she is obedient. And Naomi said, now here's how it's going to work. When he lies down, you mark the place where he shall lie, and you go in, and you uncover his feet, and you lie down, and he'll tell you what you ought to do. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, because it makes God happy. What does God eat and drink? What consumes God, and what does God consume? When Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was merry. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. He's sleeping there by the pile of harvest. That makes him content. And that gives him rest. You want to be on God's good side, you get involved in that harvest. And he went to lie down at the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. You find where God is and find what makes God satisfied. Find what makes God merry. Find out what he eats and what he drinks. Well, what does he eat and drink? What does the axiom mean? What do we mean when we say, oh, he just eats that and drinks it, sleeps it. We mean he's consumed by it, and he's all involved in it, and he's obsessed perhaps with it. And what does God eat and drink? It's the harvest, friend. What makes God happy? It's the harvest. What does God rest in? It's the harvest. Jesus explains it to the Pharisees. They don't understand. They don't get it. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost till he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, so what makes a shepherd rejoice? Finding the one. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me. Jesus is the good shepherd. What makes Jesus rejoice? Finding the lost sheep. He said, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. What makes God merry? Where do we find God? In the harvest. What makes God happy? What makes him rest? It's about the harvest. I say to you likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle, sweep the house, seek diligently till she find it. And when she found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together saying, rejoice with me. And this is Jesus again. This is the church. Rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I want you to go down to the harvest. I want you to go down to the threshing floor. And there's a pile of grain there. That's where you're going to find the Lord. That's where you're going to find the kinsman redeemer. And you just wait. And when he's happy and when he's merry and when he's eaten and when he's drunk, then he's going to lie down, and you go down and you lie down at his feet. We sing a song about that. I want to lie down with my head on your chest, and I want to listen to your heartbeat. And that's a song about intimacy with God. You want to get intimate with God. You need to find out where the harvest is. You need to find out what makes him happy. You need to draw close to him there. In the harvest and on the threshing floor, you draw close to him there. That's where you'll find Jesus. You're not going to find, I'm just telling you, we've sung about it, we've preached about it, but we love good music, but the angels don't shout over good music. We love good preaching, but the angels don't shout over good preaching. People can come to God with a banjo and a washboard and a preacher that barely can read the word of God, and people have for centuries come to God. But what makes God rejoice is one more sinner coming in out of the cold and into the house of God. Somebody lift up a voice. Somebody clap your hand. Praise God. We need to do everything we do with excellence, and we need to be good at everything we do to promote worship and bless the church and draw the sinner and create atmosphere. And everything we do magnifies God. Every Sunday school teacher and everybody that cleans the house and everybody that cooks the meals, and it all works together. But the focus and the, don't ever forget that you're a part of something big that's bringing forth the fruit of the kingdom, which is another soul, another pile of grain coming into the barn of God. And the father and the prodigal, in that same 15th chapter of Luke, said, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring the hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this is my son that was dead and is alive again. He's lost and he was found. And they're rejoicing and they're dancing and they're singing. And Jesus is explaining to the Pharisees why he spends time with sinners. If you want to find him, you wouldn't find him down at the temple. You wouldn't find him down in a theological discussion. You would find him in a place of harvest. You would find him in a place where the harvest was. Find where he takes his rest, Naomi told her, and then go lie down at his feet. You want intimacy with God? Subject yourself to him at the place where he is the happiest. And as Boaz said, come under the wings of the God of Israel. Let's have some music tonight. I'm done. I'm not done. We got another chapter, but I can't get them married tonight. Praise God. Could you just lift up your hands and talk to God a little bit right now? Praise God. We're all over the map. We're from Dan to Beersheba tonight, but God's talking to us in this house. And there's a harvest. There's a harvest in this city. And there's a harvest that's waiting. And there are people that are right now gathered around their Bible. And they don't know what to do, but they're coming. They're coming. There's somebody that woke up last night, stirred out of their sleep, and there's a Larry Booker who went to sleep with a Bible on his chest last night, and there's a Sam Emery that's looking for something more, and there's a Gary Ellis in this city that's looking, and there's a Tenarius in this city that's wondering what's next in God, and there's a Tracy sitting at a bar somewhere in this city, and they're wondering what's next, and God's touching them, and God's creating a draft, and God's drawing them, and there's a Matt and a Chrissy somewhere in this city right now, and they just don't know what they're going to be, but they're going to be so happy, and they're going to be so awesome in the house of God, and they're all over this city tonight, and God is calling them, and there needs to be some corresponding prayer, and there needs to be some corresponding witness, and there needs to be a corresponding heart for this in the church that God's going to draw them to. Can you lift up your hands and lift up your voice and begin to talk to God tonight? You want to be a part of His harvest. You want to get down to, okay, I've been washed, and now I've been anointed, and now I've got the righteousness on, and now I just want to draw close. Well, Naomi says, find out what He loves and get there. Find out what makes Him happy, what makes Him merry, and get there. Find out what God is eating and drinking, and get there and lie down. Down at His feet. Submit and subordinate yourself. Praise God. Israel had to follow the cloud. And David said, take not thine Holy Spirit from me. You want to find the presence of God? We don't have a tower, a cloud, and fire tonight. But we know where the harvest is. And if you'll get yourself invested in the harvest at whatever level the Holy Ghost is leading you, but you just can't live an apostolic life and just work a job and just pay your bills. You gotta be involved in the harvest. At some level, you've gotta get involved in the harvest. At some level, you've gotta find out where He is. You've gotta find out where He is, and you've gotta come and lie down at His feet. Come on, how close do you want to be to Him? I know somebody here has a problem, a big problem in your life. But let me suggest to you that you get involved with what God loves, and God will slip up His shoulder underneath your problem and begin to take the weight off of you. Hallelujah. Come on. If you're thinking of somebody right now, I want you to call their name out before the Lord. If you're thinking of somebody that needs the Holy Ghost right now, call their name out before the Lord. If you think about somebody that you need a witness with, or they need a Bible study, call their name out before the Lord right now. God hears, and God will begin to work on them. Somebody be an intercessor. Somebody cry out. Come on, church. We need 100 people in this altar seeking for the Holy Ghost. We need 100 people lined up in that hall waiting to get baptized in Jesus' name. We need your whole office. We need your whole work crew coming down to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus Jesus is. That's where our Boaz is. That's where our kinsman redeemer is. Come on, there's 100 soul revival in the wind of the Holy Ghost right now. There's a doubling of this church in prophecy that's already been spoken. I don't care what season it is. I don't care if it's COVID season. God's got revival. God's got a harvest. There's a Rodney and a Pam out there. They're looking, they're hungry. They just don't know what they're hungry for. Hallelujah. Come on, church, pray. Somebody's about to go down in the water in Jesus' name right now. Those of you at home right now, I want you to begin to pray. Let our house be a house of harvest. Let this house be a place for Bible study. Let this house, let this family be a place where people come to receive from God. Let this home be a lighthouse for our neighborhood and our community. Somebody tonight, lay your hand on them. Just reach over. Let that Holy Ghost flow from vessel to vessel tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Talk in tongues. Let that Holy Ghost wash over one another. Talk in tongues. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Coming into relationship with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the place. Hallelujah. You're the people. And this is the time. This is the season. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. glad to be in the house of God tonight and so glad to be a part of the kingdom of God. Praise God. You know, we've gotten more use out of our balcony in this COVID season than we ever did before. We're kind of getting accustomed to it. But I want you to know, as this revival begins to unfold, we're going to fill this house. We're going to fill this house, floor and the balcony. And then we're going to have to worry about what to do for more room. But that's what our MO is. That's where we've come from. That's what we've experienced in every building that we've been in. And it doesn't matter about the COVID season. That's going to happen here, because there is no end to the increase of His government and peace. And the fields are ready. They are white already to harvest. Praise God. You just ask God what He wants you to do, and you snuggle up down by His feet. You find that place of harvest. You get right in there close to Jesus. And He's going to lead you, and He's going to teach you. He's going to show you exactly what to do. I have a caveat, a warning for you, though. Once you start winning people to God, and once you start teaching Bible studies and witnessing, it's addictive, and you won't ever be able to get enough of it. And that's the kind of revival that's coming right now. God bless you. Love and bless one another before we leave tonight. And let's worship with Amanda. She's going to go down in the water in Jesus' name tonight. God bless you. Those of you at home, we're so glad that you're a part of what's going on.